Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-aerorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs, which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? In a recent Human Factors in Diving class, we were on a dive where the members of the team were trying to complete a task. It was a mixed group of people. Some knew each other well, others had met once or twice before, and the rest were completely new to the group. It was also a mix of nationalities, some European and some from the Middle East. This had already thrown up a few challenges when people had slipped into their native language to quickly get a point across, but had not been understood by the rest, who didn't speak that language, causing later problems. During the dive, the team had a limited time in which to complete the task. The European person, who had been assigned as group leader, was showing frustration in his body language and gave a sign to one of the Middle Eastern members. The second guy looked a little shocked, but carried on with what he was doing. That clearly wasn't the reaction the leader was hoping for. After the dive, we had a debrief. One of the main reasons for debriefing is to enable a sharing of mental models between team members. During debriefs, it's not unusual to have some say, "Oh, that's why you did that," as the actions that had been clear to the participant were explained to everyone else. In this case, the second team member asked what the leader had meant by his sign. The leader said he thought it was obvious, and a universal sign, that he had meant "hurry up." At that, the second team member laughed, and explained that in Arab culture, that sign was a very rude sign that meant "go away," or words to that effect, hence his confused reaction. The key part about communication is making sure that others understand what our message and intent are. This is not easy, given everything going on in our lives. Being bombarded by emails and social media, watches and phones pinging, people vying for our attention, social or cultural pressures that make it hard to question what has been said, physical challenges such as being underwater, and many more. So what can we do about this? How much attention do you have? This is an example of the interdependence between the non-technical skills that the human diver teaches. We have a finite amount of attention that we put towards an activity. We covered some of this in previous situation awareness blogs. So when we communicate, we have to tailor our message to the person or persons listening or receiving the message. As the transmitter, I have to make sure the message comes in chunks small enough that you can process it. Think about what it means, and then decide whether you want to make some notes, written comms, or ask a question about what has been said, verbal comms. The goal is understanding and action, not just transmission. If I'm putting a lot of attention into an activity, my ability to transmit may be decreased. The same goes if my attention is suddenly taken by something else. We've probably all encountered someone talking to us who tails off as a notification appears on their phone. In this case, I need to reduce my mental load in order to focus on the information I'm trying to transmit. Verbal communication. We can break the message down during verbal communication by introducing small pauses between ideas and concepts. This allows the listener time to consider the ideas and for patterns to be matched in their memories and sense-making to happen. I know that when I am presenting and in the flow, this can be hard. But I focus on how the messages are landing with the audience, making eye contact with numerous people around the room and checking if they are engaged. For a pre-dive or pre-task brief, I will focus on non-verbal communication by the team, looking for facial expressions that indicate a frown or a question brewing. Of course, the same applies underwater, where non-verbal communication is essential. The more complicated the discussion or briefing, the longer the pauses. The same goes if there are significant barriers such as language, culture, authority, or an inability to see each other, phone calls. Suppose I'm talking with friends or colleagues about a known topic. In that case, there will be very few pauses because we both have a large common understanding or overlap about the topic, and we will make assumptions about the knowledge others have, like the layout of the wreck we're diving on, the ascent profile we will follow, or where to be for a photo shoot. If there isn't this overlap, there will be more pauses and chunking. There isn't a hard and fast rule. It really does depend on the situation and context. Using closed-loop communications, especially open questions, to check understanding ensures that the message is correctly transmitted and understood. Underwater, that means getting people to repeat signals back. Written communication. For written communication, we can introduce pauses by breaking the flow of the written text. like the line and paragraph breaks in this blog. The use of headers signposts people to what the topic is, too. This blog could have been written as one long paragraph, but I'm confident you would feel out of breath by the time we got to the end of the paragraph, if you even got that far. Think about your audience. Make it land well. Make it sticky. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, The Book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.